All right, Anthony, time now for the Financial Confidential. The social media desk is open, 575-646-2212. Let's talk about finance.
Yeah, I'm on the social media desk. Hit me up on Facebook, like our KRWG page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter at KRWG. What type of questions do you have about finances? Edmundo, it's something that impacts us all.
It impacts us all from wills to insurance to savings. It is for everyone.
You know, we're pretty lucky here at KRWG. We have many economic and financial programs, but this is one where we have somebody in studio that we can ask the questions that are important to us.
We have a drawing for a $25 gift card and a book by Dave Ramsey for all people that call in and ask questions.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter to join in the conversation.
KRWG's Financial Confidential on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org is made possible by Pickwick, with a Santa Fe Grill in most locations, and PQ Treats available in Las Cruces on Sonoma Ranch Boulevard, South Main Street, and Don Rosa Drive. Pickwick, serving southern New Mexico for 60 years, since 1958. By the Charles Schwab Independent Branch in Las Cruces, financial consultant Jackie Edwards provides investment information and education. More at 575-993-5050. Charles Schwab and Company Incorporated. Member SIPC. Welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Are you ready for some financial advice with Bryce? Join us as we discuss financial issues that affect us all with special guest, NMSU professor Dr. Bryce Jorgensen, a family resource management specialist and with the Cooperative Extension Service. Everyone who calls into the show or submits a question via social media will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card courtesy of Barnes & Noble, or the book Complete Guide to Money by Dave Ramsey. Plus, you'll also receive a 1 hour of financial consultation with Bryce. Dr. Bryce, welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm pretty excited. We've talked about doing a show that dealt with financial advice. And today, what we want to focus on is financial wellness, developing financial wellness. What are some initial steps one must take to develop financial wellness?
Well, financial wellness is a group of ideas to not only excel financially, but really understand and accomplish the goals that you want. And so they are things like budgeting and tracking your money, getting out of debt, building your credit, saving and investing, and then also important that a lot of people leave out is having a will.
Here at New Mexico State University, you teach a freshman class on finance.
I do.
What surprises you the most about these students when they come in and ask you questions about finance?
There's lots of things, but two stand out. One, it seems like everybody wants a brand new car, and they need the biggest truck, and they need something that's they're going to have like an $800 payment a month. And when I go into talking about what that does to their finances and how they should be buying used cars that are reliable and not too expensive, a lot of them start seeing the light, and then they start sharing in class saying, you know, I was going to go out and buy this truck, or my brother or my boyfriend was going to go buy this, and now they're going to buy a used car for this amount of money, and they're going to save a lot of money, and the money they save, they're going to start investing. And so there's all of these types of different ideas that they share that get really exciting. The number two thing is I have them track their expenses for a month.
I did that once, and it was so scary. And I have to admit, I've not done it. I did it. Somebody, a good financial friend of mine, said, you know, write down everything you spend. It doesn't matter how small the amount is. Write it down. And at the end of the month, I was shocked by how much money I would literally spend on insignificant things.
Exactly.
By the way, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join Anthony Moreno, who is on the social media desk, ready to hear from you. If you've got a question or a comment dealing with finance, financial advice with Bryce, give us a call right now. Continue with.
So they would track their money for a month, and then, like you, they'd see that most of their money is going out to eat. These little things like stopping to get gas, and then they go in and get chips and candy bars or donuts. And if they cut some of those things out, they found that they could be borrowing a whole lot less money in loans, which would save them tens of thousands of dollars after they graduate. And so they were eating themselves into poverty, basically.
And it's very easy to do because when you go out and about and buy snacks and you eat out, it's about convenience.
Yes, and they like convenience, of course.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. I'm Edmundo Resendez, Financial Advice with Bryce. It's KRWG's Financial Confidential. If you have a question on retirement, on financing, on refinancing your mortgage, on issues that affect you financially, give us a call right now and ask Bryce Jorgensen. He is an NMSU professor here at New Mexico State University. He is with the Family Resource Management Specialist and with the Cooperative Extension Service. So if you have a question for him, give us a call right now. Again, financial wellness. We've talked about different steps one must take. How soon do you encourage parents to start teaching their children about finance?
Well, very, very young. And they learn a lot by watching what their parents do, so by the example, but also explicitly teaching. And so when they're young and they're going with you to the store and they're throwing a fit and you allow them to buy whatever they want, then that's teaching them something. When you sit down beforehand and say, we have a certain amount of money and it goes to these things and we have this much and these are the things we want to buy, and not this time, but next time we can get a special treat for you. That teaches them to distinguish between needs and wants, to understand that there's not, money doesn't grow on trees. So there's lots of little things you can do. So 2-3 years old, you start teaching them.
And then, I learned, you know, that's one of the things I learned early on with my kids is that, yeah, you know, we would go to the store and say, okay, I'm going to buy you something, but it can cost more than $5.
Right.
And, you know, one of the challenges was they would see something for $4.99. I said, well, you got to keep in mind taxes. And so, you know, but that was just to tease them. But at the same time, it really encouraged them to shop around and to be careful with what they buy. And I would always ask them, are you sure that's what you want? Are you going to be happy with this purchase?
Right. And when you're going on vacations or buying a car, if you involve the whole family, if you have some teenagers or kids that are, you know, 8 to 12, even and talk about, here's some options, here's what it costs, and over the year we have this much money to go on vacations, and so we could do these four things that are smaller or one larger thing, and then allow them to kind of choose and understand that they have to distinguish and understand that money is finite.
What are some pitfalls that we as grown-ups fall into when we go out and about on our own? You know, you talked about, you know, how the students, they have to determine, you know, where to spend their money and how to spend their money. But as a young parents that are just getting started, they might be renting, what do you advise, do you give them to get them to become financially independent?
It's a good question. The number one way to be independent financially and to build wealth is to spend less than you earn and to pay yourself first. And so no matter what they're making, they can be contributing, paying themselves first, and using compound interest and investing and building wealth. You know, you could make $30,000 a year and become a millionaire. You could make $300,000 a year, but if you're spending $310,000 a year, you're not building any wealth. And so at any income level, as long as you can spend less than you earn and pay yourself first, you're going to start doing that. And if you want to spend less than you earn, you have to know where your money's going and make choices. And that's where tracking your money and then making a spending plan comes in.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you call in and join in on the conversation, you will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Barnes & Noble or a book by Mr. Money himself, Mr. Dave Ramsey, The Complete Guide to Money. Plus, you'll also receive a one-hour consultation with Dr. Bryce Jorgensen, some financial advice with Bryce. It's a one-hour consultation. Take advantage of that. Again, for all calls and social media questions, they'll be entered into a drawing to win either one of those gifts. So give us a call right now, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. We talked about some of the pitfalls that people fall into. Let's continue talking about that. What about credit cards? You know, you don't see it as much, but there was a time, I remember in the late 80s and the early 90s, where credit card companies were going around to college campuses, mm-hmm, and signing up kids for credit cards. And, you know, it's encouraged that you open up a credit card to build credit.
Yeah, luckily they can't do that anymore. And so unless you're over 21 or an emancipated minor, you can't sign up for a credit card without a co-signer and your parent. And so no longer do they come on campus and try to get you to do that. But with credit cards, a lot of students get in trouble with credit cards because their parents help them get on. But even as adults, we get in trouble with credit cards. And what we need to remember is one of the quickest ways to destroy our wealth is to pay money out in interest. And credit cards are a huge detriment to our budget and our wealth. And so, for example, if we have a $5,000 credit card, we cut it up and don't use it again, and we pay the minimum, it's going to take 11 years to pay off, and we're going to pay $3,100 in interest. That's $1.62 for every dollar. So if you go out and have lunch for $10, nope, it's actually $16. If you go buy something for $100, it's actually $160. And so that destroys the ability to build wealth and to use it for other goals that we have because we're paying it all to the banks and to interest.
I have fallen into the trap, and I'll admit this, you know, back in my younger days where, again, back in my younger days, it was very easy to get credit applications over the mail. You've been pre-approved. Mm-hmm. And I would do credit card shopping. I would look at who would offer a best interest or a lower interest and pay off one credit card and start anew. Do you recommend that?
No, but I did that. I was the king of that and finding the zero balance transfers and 0% for 12 months. And I had about 7 or 8 different credit cards that I rotated between. And then by the time that was up, the other ones were offering it to me again. And it's really just a negative cycle of never paying, off your debt. And so if you have a credit card that you have a significant amount on, say it's, a few thousand dollars and there's something available for 0% for a long time, the way they get you now is there's a transfer balance fee. And so it's usually 3-5%. And so it's really not 0%. You're paying the 3-5% immediately upon transfer. And so it depends on the situation, but I rarely encourage people to do that. Instead, they get on a debt elimination program to pay off all their debt, and that's much more beneficial for them. And I could talk about that later if you want to.
Okay. We had a call from Julie who wanted to know, is there a resource for checking credit information without damaging credit?
Yeah, so there's what I recommend is annualcreditreport.com. You can go on and
annualcreditreport.com.
So annualcreditreport.com allows you to pull your credit report for free, and there's 3 different credit bureaus: Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and you can pull it from each of those every year. So what I recommend is doing one of them every 4 months. So you could do, let's say, 2-2, 6-6, and 10-10 to make it easy in the calendar. You go and you pull it from each of those. Now, if you're just starting and you haven't done that, you might want to go and pull all 3 of them at once. You look at what's on there, you compare, and a lot of times there's things on there that you forgot about or didn't know about.
That happened to me when I went out to get our house loan.
Yeah.
And I hadn't checked my credit, and we sat down with the banker, and she said, let me pull up your credit score. And she pulled it up, and I had stuff from years, from stuff that was over 10 years old.
Could be judgments.
I had no idea that it existed, but she said, we need to clear this up before we go with the process.
Yeah, and the problem is that hurts your credit, and when your credit is lower, everything costs more. Insurances and loans.
Let's talk about that. That surprised me to know that you could have 2 WIs, but you could be hurt more by having bad credit.
Yeah, you could have 2 at-fault accidents, you could add a teenager, or you could have 2 DWIs, and that doesn't raise your premium as much as having poor credit. There was a study with credit that was done that shows that if you're living house right next door to the same a family that's similar to yours in the same house, same car, same everything, and you have great credit and they have bad credit, it could cost them $1,000 more per month living the same way you are just because they have poor credit. So credit's important. Let me finish answering this latest question. The second part is you can get Credit Karma, et cetera, but the place I encourage people to go to is creditscorecard.com. creditscorecard.com, and that's through Discover. You don't have to sign up for the credit card, but that gives you what's called the FICO 8 score, rather than like Credit Karma and other places give you the Vantage score. And so the Vantage score is close, it's similar, but what other lenders actually use when they pull your credit up is the FICO 8 score. And that's the only place you can get that for free is creditscorecard.com. Say no to the credit card signing up, and that will let you pass through and you get your actual score.
Okay. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Call in right now if you've got a question for Bryce, advice with Bryce on KRWG's Financial Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Barnes & Noble or a book by Dave Ramsey called Complete Guide to Money. Plus, you'll also receive a one-hour consultation with Bryce. Let us go to our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony, good afternoon and welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential.
Good afternoon. We have a few questions from Facebook, and we want to remind folks that you can like our Facebook page and keep up with the live feed to the program and ask your questions there. The question we have to kick things off here from the page is, when tackling debt, which debt should we start paying first?
Okay, that's a good question, because a lot of us have student loans, credit cards, maybe auto loans, mortgage, other things. And so what the best way to pay off debt is to do what's called the debt elimination program. And you can go to powerpay.org. That's powerpay.org, and stick your information in, and it will create one of these for you. But you want to look and see what the balances are, and then you want to pay minimums to all of your debts except the lowest balance. And so if it's the car loan's the lowest balance, or if a credit card's the lowest balance, you attack that with all the extra money that you have to pay that off. Once that's paid off, then you roll that money into the next lowest balance, to the next lowest balance. If you do that, even if you just got a new home and have 30 years left on it, you could pay off everything, including your home, in 8 to 12 years, saving tens of thousands of dollars in interest rather than remaining in debt for that 30 years. And so it's not necessarily a credit card or a car, but it's the lowest balance, and you pay that off and then roll it to the next.
Okay, we have another question. This person says they hear a lot of stories about power of attorney, mostly about it being misused or about how people are waiting too long to grant it. Perhaps they may be too physically or mentally weak. When and how should someone grant power of attorney?
It's a good question. I see this a lot of times when I'm working with clients where there's older adults and they want to give their children access to be able to, their finances and other day-to-day activities in case something happens. And one of the things that they're doing that is incorrect is adding them to their accounts. And you don't want to add, say, a son or daughter to your account necessarily, because then that opens up if there's a lawsuit or something against the child, then they can go after that money. It's like it's their money as well. And so there's a lot of reasons not to do that. But what you can do is do a power of attorney that gives them power over financial matters. And so you need to really trust them. But I do this as well when I go with my wife overseas, because if something happens then and I need to pay a bill or do something, then I have my father-in-law as the power of attorney, so he can act on my behalf.
Is that a temporary power of attorney?
Yes. So you can do it temporarily. You can put a date on there. You can even itemize what they have power over and not over. So it excludes everything except these three things. So it's really beneficial if people are thinking, hey, something might happen and I want them to be able to pay my bills or have access to these accounts. Whatever it is, you can enumerate those things in your power of attorney. You can put deadlines or not deadlines, and that can happen at any time.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by. If you have access to Facebook and you like KRWG, we are live streaming the show. You can take a look at Mr. Bryce, Dr. Bryce, and myself, and follow us and interact with us on our social media page, Facebook. And if you have not liked us already, do so, so you can take advantage of some of the great benefits that come with liking KRWG. Let us go to RD, who has been patiently standing by. RD, welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential. You are on with Bryce.
Okay.
RD? Yes.
I hear you on the radio.
Okay. Well, listen to us on the phone.
I am.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Mm-hmm. I am a brand new great-grandmother, and I want to know how to plan financially for my great-grandchild.
For school or in for college? What specifically?
Probably for their future. The child isn't even born yet.
Okay. That's great that you're planning already.
Yeah, good job. Well, putting aside money specifically for that grandchild is a great way to do that. You could do it in a 529 plan, which will give benefits and allow them to use it for schooling. You could put it in an IRA for them in their names, or you can do just a savings account or a mutual fund that allows it to grow and progress. It depends on what you want it to use use it for, because in a 529 plan, they can only use it for schooling. If you want them to be able to use it to buy a car or down payment on a home or something, then you may want to just open up a mutual fund for them and put some money aside.
529 is school only, okay?
Right, yeah. So that's taxed. Gives you tax benefits as well, so you don't have to pay taxes on that money. And so 529 is a nice way if it's for school. If it's for other things, you can give me a call. There's lots of options, but I need to know a little bit more about what your goals are for them. And again, to contact me, I guess I can put that out there if people want to reach out.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Yes.
My email is Bryce J. That's BryceJ at nmsu.edu. And my phone number is 646-4943.
Okay, thank you very much. Let us go to our next caller. Esther, you are on with Dr. Bryce. Financial Advice with Bryce. Welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential. Esther.
Hi. Yes, my question, Bryce, is I have a young adult son who's recently moved in with his girlfriend, and I want to know how I can encourage them to have conversations about money, because they have sort of different approaches. He's been really good. He took some financial classes in college, and he doesn't have any debt or credit card debt, and she comes to the relationship with a lot of debt, and so I am anxious that they talk about this and work this out before they get married.
That is a great idea, Esther. Finances are one of the top reasons that couples have conflict and leads to divorce. And so it's definitely a good idea to communicate about those things and understand the value that each of them puts on money before they get married. And so each of us kind of has a different relationship with money. And so the first thing is to kind of find out from each other, you know, what they think about money, what money means to them, what their ideas about money is. You know, are they savers? Are they spenders? How, you know, did they learn different financial topics and tips from their parents? And so as they talk about that and discuss it, topics will come up. But I would sit down and they can go by the topics of saving, investing, debt, you know, insurances, et cetera, and go through and say, hey, what do you think about this topic? And then the other person can share what they think. And hopefully they can start aligning and coming up with some goals that they have in those areas. Maybe a goal to stay out of debt or only to go into debt for certain things. Spending money, they only spend this much money, free time or free money on themselves above a certain amount. You know, there's lots of different things that they can say, but starting the conversation is key. And so I would just say, hey, you know, this is a high topic of conflict and divorce. You guys should definitely talk about it. Here's some topics: saving, debt, credit, spending money. Start talking and sharing about what you think about those ideas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Esther, for joining us. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk, where Anthony Moreno is standing by, ready to hear from you. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. Or ask us on our Facebook page, on our social media page, and let us know what's on your mind. Again, as a reminder, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Barnes & Noble or the book Financial Advice, or the book. You haven't written a book yet, have you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, the book Complete Guide to Money by Dave Ramsey. Plus, you'll also receive a one-hour financial consultation with Dr. Bryce. Dr. Bryce, what goes into that consultation?
So I sit down first on the first consultation with everybody and just kind of find out their financial goals. I have some intake forms that they fill out about what they're stressed about or what they're concerned about, different areas within the financial realm, as well as relational and finances, like the last caller had mentioned. And then we start kind of putting out a plan of what do you want to tackle first? You know, what are your main concerns? Because in 1 hour, you can't go over everything. So if they really want to talk about debt or if they want to talk about investing, we can do usually one topic that first time and kind of figure it out. And then if they want to do more after that, we can talk about that.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on social media, where Anthony Moreno is standing by. What's on your mind when it comes to financing? Have you considered consolidation loans? What are the best ways to go about doing a consolidation loan? Have you considered the benefits of refinancing your home? What are some of the benefits that you can take advantage of when you do that? Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to Anthony Moreno. Anthony, welcome back.
All right. We have plenty of questions here on the Facebook page. One question is, what's the best way to convince young people in their first full-time job to start an IRA and, say, benefit from having their money in the market for many decades of compounding interest?
That's a great question. And research just recently has showed that millennials actually are increasing the percentage of who's participating in 401ks and IRAs, and so that's great. I think just showing examples of what their money can become really motivates people. So every dollar that's invested over, say, 50 years that they're in retirement, or 35 to 40 years, turns into 30 on average with what the stock market has done. And so if you can say, you know, if you gave me $100 and then I gave you $3,000, does that sound like a good deal? You know, if you gave me $1,000 and I gave you $30,000, does that sound like a good deal? And so
it's as simple as that.
Yeah, sharing, hey, this is where your money's going to go, and it's been shown for over 100 years that it's going to continue to increase. You want your money to have babies, lots of babies, because then that gives you retirement. So
all right, and we have another question about passing on wealth. This person asked, what is the easiest way for parents to pass along properties or other investments without massive amounts of penalties?
Yeah, so that gets into estate planning, and definitely want to get with an estate attorney. If you have a simple estate that you don't have a lot of money or a lot of things to pass on, you don't have over a couple million dollars, then doing a fairly simple will would be fine, and that enumerates how you want to pass those things on. But if you're going to have more than that, then a trust would be good. And again, I'm not an attorney, but I recommend getting with one, especially if you have a lot of assets and things to pass on. A trust allows you to avoid probate. The state doesn't need to know what you have, because the trust owns it. And then when you pass on, then they're part of the trust and they own those things and can run them. So the way to save on taxes, to stay out of probate, to not allow the state understand and know what's in your business, is to have a trust.
Okay, we have another question. This person wants to know if you think it's a good idea to pay extra on your mortgage principal so you can pay off your mortgage sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just share this is with debt, with what mortgages are. So I also do loans. I work with a mortgage broker and a bank. And what we don't understand about mortgages is when you get a 30-year mortgage, and say it's only a $200,000 mortgage, maybe you're paying about $1,000 or so to your payment, $750 of that goes to interest, and only $250 goes to pay off the principal. That's a 300% you're paying interest on these first few years. And so the faster you can pay that off, the better. If you get a 15-year loan versus a 30-year on a $200,000 mortgage, let's say the 30-year loan's 4.5%, you'd be paying $166,000 in interest, $168,000. If you have a 15-year loan, 4%, you're only going to pay $66,000. So that's $100,000 more in interest you're just giving to the bank by having a 30-year loan versus a 15. So whatever you have, a 15, 30, 20, you want to pay that off as quickly as possible, because every dollar you put towards that is going to save money on interest. Now, the second part of that, though, is if you have other things like credit cards and other items, then again, I'd go to powerpay.org, stick your information in, pay off those smaller balances first and roll them down until all of that extra money is going to your mortgage, and then your 30-year mortgage is going to be paid off in 12 years. You'll be debt-free.
Let us talk about, again, mention the debt elimination website you mentioned earlier.
Powerpay.org.
Powerpay.org.
Yep.
Okay. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Financial Advice with Bryce. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez. It's KRWG's Financial Confidential. If you have a question about finances, give us a call right now and ask Bryce. Let us go to the phone where We've got Jeannie standing by. Jeannie, welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential. You are on with Bryce.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Bryce, I would like to ask you what your recommendation would be, or your top three recommendations for financial literacy books, and preferably for the millennial population. That might include a little bit about financial products or just basic financial literacy or a strong economic overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie.
All right, top three books. So the one that I use actually in my practice when I coach and counsel with couples or individuals is called The Four Laws of Financial Prosperity. I also have them read that book. It's very small and skinny in my Financial Fitness for Freshmen class and then another class I teach. And so Four Laws of Financial Prosperity takes you through somebody that's in a dire, stressful situation to financial freedom without earning any more money simply by following four financial laws. Another one would be Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And then for investing, I would use Tony Robbins' book on Unshakable. And that is a phenomenal book about where and how to invest to lower your risk of losing money, but also take advantage of the stock market and the compounding interest.
575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation on social media, we are live streaming the show on Facebook. You can join in on the conversation. Anthony Moreno is standing by. If you would like to contact Dr. Bryce directly, you can do so by emailing him at Bryce, that's B-R-Y-C-E, J, at nmsu.edu. You can do that. He will return your email. I'm pretty sure you will do that. Let us go to Gail. Gail, welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential. You are on with Bryce.
Hi. I'd just like to know, we're going to be receiving some money from an annuity monthly, and we have to let them know if we're going to have it taxed monthly or yearly. So I was wondering, like, what the tax ramifications of that, and is there anything better or worse than, which would you suggest?
Well, it really depends if you're going to use that money just for your living each month or if you're going to actually take that and invest it. I'm guessing because you're receiving it from an annuity, you're not going to reinvest it. If you're not reinvesting it, then it's going to be the same whether you do it monthly or annually. If you're going to take money and then try to increase it by investing, it'd be better to pay taxes annually because then you have more in your pocket right now. But if you're just using it month to month, either one's fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gail. 575-646-2212. As I like to do when we conduct these shows, please, the time to call is right now because we've got about 22 minutes to go. And if you have a question you would like to ask Mr. Bryce, Dr. Bryce, please do so. 575-646-2212. I had a question from a caller who wanted to know, how do we change our tax planning for April? Because we are supposed to have lower taxes now. What changes need to be made before April?
It's a good question. So just to give a couple of ideas of what's happening with the taxes, with these tax changes that just went through, your standardized deduction has now doubled about. And so instead of, you know, 12,000 or so, 12,600, it's now 24,000. And so a lot of people that maybe were itemizing their deductions now don't have to. If you're like me and have a bunch of children, I have five, then instead of the tax credit was $1,000 per child, now it's $1,600 per child. And so before I itemize, and this year I don't think I'm going to have to because it's doubled the standard deduction and I'm getting $1,600 credit for each of my children. So the way that you want to, there's nothing necessarily different that you do because you still get to itemize if you itemize your interest on your home, the taxes you pay up to $10,000 to state taxes, charity benefits that you give, you get to deduct those. And so there's, for the average family, there's not a whole lot of difference. Now, just generally for taxes, though, if you have a 401k or a Roth 401 or Roth IRA or an IRA, then make the contributions this year so that you can deduct those. And that's always good to do before the end of the year.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let's go to Jose, who has been patiently standing by. Jose, welcome to KRWG's Financial Confidential. You are on with Bryce.
Hello, Bryce. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a two-part question. One is I'm opting to, I'm 61, and I'm going to be turning 62, and I'm opting to take my Social Security at 62. I don't really need that much money to live on. Maybe $1,000 is very comfortable for me. And I live overseas, so that's probably why. Now, the break-even point between taking it between 62 and 65 is 79 years for me. So I want to take about $800 of my Social Security and invest it. I was looking at about between 4 and 5% return will increase that break-even point to about another 8 to 9 years. So I'm going, okay, so where can I put that? So that's part one. Now, part two is I also have some money in savings, and right now it's just sitting at one of the large investment companies in just a money market account. I'm getting zero for it, but I just wanted to make sure that my money was secure. So now that I'm looking at this retirement, I'm going like, okay, well, I want to put that money to work, and I also want it to earn somewhere between 3 and 5%. So now I'm looking at maybe possibilities of some just long-term CDs or something, you know, some CDs. I think they're the best I've found is about 2.9 with Barclays. I think Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs has some for 5 years. So the position is I don't need very much, and I want to take whatever I've got, you know, my Social Security, take part of that. How can I invest that part? And then the other is I have a certain amount of money, a good size, and I want to take that and invest that. So I'm looking at an investment period of about 15 years.
Wow.
You know, and so that's what I'm looking at. And so far, you know, my lifestyle is I'm moving to Greece, to Cyprus, and I've been living in Vietnam, I've been living in India, I've been living and in a fairly good living standard.
So you don't have a primary residence here in the States then?
Well, wherever I go and visit, that's my primary residence.
Okay.
Okay.
Because so, one of the answers, you know, for those who are in their home here at the in the U.S.,
thank you, Jose.
A reverse mortgage would seems like it would do well for you because with a reverse mortgage, you get about 5% or so return, and you don't even have to touch the money. It's just you open it up and leave it there, and it grows at 5%. Because you don't have that and you're looking to invest in different areas, I can't give specifics because I'm not a financial planner, but one of our sponsors is Jackie at Schwab, and I actually bank there as well. And she's really good, and there's others that you can get with it. 3 to 5% is fairly common and easy to be able to get with money in retirement. And they can kind of take what you're saying and put it into a program that's much better than what I can do off the top of my head right here with Social Security coming in either now or later, the money that you have, which you didn't explain how much that was and what rate they can actually get you, and then reinvesting some of that Social Security over the 15 years and where that sweet spot is. One thing I want to, since you brought Social Security up just for the other listeners, is that, you know, you can take Social Security starting at 62, but if you do that, you only get 70%. And so it adds 8% every year until you get to 66 and a half, or pretty soon it'll be 70, or I'm sorry, 67. And that'll give you the full percent. And then it goes up until 70 when you can actually get 124%. And so the longer you can wait for Social Security, they've done studies, it's usually, if you live the regular lifespan, usually better to wait. And so if there's other money you have in savings or a reverse mortgage, then waiting on Social Security is better. with you taking it and investing it, again, I would go into a financial planner, give them all of the things that you just said. They put it into a nice little spreadsheet, and it will give you some definite answers there.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Again, as a reminder, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Barnes & Noble and the book Complete Guide to Money by Dave Ramsey, plus a one-hour financial consultation with Dr. Bryce Jorgensen. If you want to join in, you can also just call and let them know to put you into the drawing. Let us go to our social media question, social media desk, where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony, what are people saying on social media?
Oh, we have a couple of questions. We have a question about student loans. I wanted to know if Bryce had any tips for ensuring that your student loan payments are applied to principal. This person says that it seems that there isn't a clear-cut structure for how student loan companies apply the payments. This person says they can never get a straight answer.
Yeah, and so that's going to depend, again, if you have it through the national lender or if it is a private lender. And so national lenders, it's better to, you know, keep it with them in many instances because there's options that they provide you. If they've consolidated it with a private lender, then that can vary widely. But one thing I do want to say about student loans is there's different options for paying it off. You know, you can pay it off in regular amounts, and that is a, you know, not too much in interest that you're paying, but it's a decent amount. And then you can do an extended version where instead of 10 years paying it off, it's over 25 years, and that's more than doubling the interest you pay off. And so the key for student loans, for those who are younger and not taking them out yet, is to minimize as much as possible the student loans that you take out. And then once you have those, do all that you can to pay those off. And I would, again, go to powerpay.org, stick it in as one of the debts that I have, and then follow that schedule for paying off all of my debt, that being one of them.
All right, we have another question about retirement. This person wants to know if you would recommend an indexed mutual fund or an indexed ETF for long-term retirement.
Yes, definitely. Both of those are good. Index funds are the best way to go. They're low cost. Just to give you an idea, that every percentage fee that you pay is going to cost you 10 years in retirement. So for example, if you were paying 1% to somebody versus 3%, then your $1 under 1% would grow to 30, and with a 3%, it'd only grow to 10. With 2%, it'd grow to $20. And so that means that you have a decade extra that you're paying because of fees. And so index funds are very low. They're 0.05 or 0.12. They're very low fees, and that's really great. And then it gets you in the market, and you stay in the market. One thing that people do, and they did a study that showed over the last 30-year study, and the average market return over those 30 years was about 10.4%. But then when they looked at what people actually received in the market, it was only 3.66%. And they said, well, why did they only get 3.66% when the average was 10.4? And the reason is because of fear and fees. And so they pulled out when, you know, the bear market it went down. And what they don't understand is that there's always a turnaround. It always turns around. It's called a bull market right after the bull market. And so every single time a bull market turns into a bear market, and you don't lose money if you keep it in there, if you don't sell. And so a lot of people freak out. They have fear. They see their money, half of it's gone, and they pull out. And if they just stayed in there, they would have got the 10.3%. And so get in the game, stay in the game, don't pull out, and then try to minimize your fees, which are with those low-cost index funds.
Question, how do you get approved for loans without credit or if you are in debt?
Loans for cars or mortgages, I guess it's the same. So you have to have more money down if you're going to get like a home or you're going to get a car, and then you have to work with lenders that can look at back at what you've been paying in rent and utilities and other things that you have, what you have in your assets for IRAs and 401ks, and that you just didn't want to be in debt, and so you didn't get credit cards or other loans, and have them look at your situation, and you have to go into probably multiple different banks or credit unions or lenders, and some are very favorable for that, and they will give you the loan based on your track record, and others want the credit score. So it's just shopping around and going off of what your track record is.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. I'm Edmundo Resendez. You're listening to KRWG's Financial Confidential with Dr. Bryce Jorgensen. He is an NMSU professor and is with the Family Resource Management Specialist. He is with the Cooperative Extension Service. Let us go to the phone lines. Becky, thank you very much for joining us. You are on with Bryce, Becky.
Thank you, Mr. Jorgensen, for taking my call. Having no children or grandchildren in my future, I just wondered how to secure beneficiary in order to ensure the money would reach its destination.
So there's someone that you want to get your assets to? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I really have no one in mind. I just don't know what road to take.
Right.
Approach.
Well, it's hard to... pass it on until you know who you want to pass that on to. But in a will, you can, until you have somebody in mind, you could say do it for a charity. You could pass on your assets to a couple different charities, whatever you want to do. And then when you find somebody that maybe you'd like to pass some of that on to, you can update your will. And so a will is really important because if you don't decide where your assets and money and possessions are going, then the state decides that. And so if you were to pass on and you didn't have any children or grandchildren, then it's whatever the law is. Maybe it goes to your siblings. Well, maybe you hate your sibling and don't want it to go there, or you have a best friend that you want it to go to, or something else. And so if you don't decide, then someone, which is the state, will decide for you. So having a will is key. Another way to do that is to be, have co-ownership or to designate a beneficiary, like on life insurance. And then you don't need that in the will, because if you are a co-owner of a home or beneficiary of life insurance as somebody else, and when that happens, it automatically goes to them.
Okay, we're going to do rapid fire calls now. Let's go to Katie. Katie, you are on with Dr. Bryce. Financial advice with Bryce. What's on your mind, Katie?
Well, I have a farm and I get a monthly income from it. I'm leasing it. But I need a lump sum to go into a retirement community, to buy into a retirement community, and looking at selling it possibly to a relative. And I'm wondering about the tax implications. How to go about? I need a lump sum, but how to go about getting the most out of it?
Well, that's a good question. And with especially farms and land and selling, we'd have to sit down and look at your full tax situation of what you're currently paying and who's buying it. If it's a family member, there's some different things that you could pass on that save you taxes. If it's, not a family member, then those options aren't there. And so right now I couldn't tell you the best way, because there's 18 different factors that would go into that answer, but I'd be happy to connect you with...
Well, Katie, you are in for the drawing to win a one-hour consultation with Dr. Bryce. Let us go to David. David, you've been patiently standing by on our phone lines. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So real quick, I was wondering, because I've accumulated about $30,000 in the checking account, and I wondered what the best option would be to start making that grow. I mean, you were talking about investing, and I guess I had a question about, is it better to go 401 or IRA?
Right. Do you have any debt?
No, not at the moment. I paid off my student loan, and that trick with buying a used card, I used that a long time ago.
Okay.
Good for you.
So you don't have any debt and you paid cash for your car. You have $30,000. I would keep some of it in kind of an emergency fund, and then the rest I would be investing it in low-cost index funds diversified across different asset classes. And that's a fairly simple thing that I can send you some information on that. If you send me an email, again, at bryce.j@nmsu.edu, I will send you some instructions on how to do that. But congratulations on being financially well.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. All right, we've got 6 minutes. Let's do some rapid-fire questions, because you teach how many workshops? You've teach over 17 workshops throughout the state. One of the workshops that caught my attention is asking your boss for a raise.
No, getting $500 a month.
Getting $500.
Asking your boss.
Yes, that's right. Getting $500 a month. Actually, we've got one more call. Let's go to Mike real quick. Mike, you're on with Bryce. What's on your mind, Mike?
Hello, Dr. Jorgensen. I'd like to go back for a moment and revisit your advice on paying off debt quickly.
Yes.
I want to be sure that I understood that you said after you pay the minimum balance, you should then put all the money towards the lowest balance. I'd like to suggest that I think there's a better way.
Okay.
I think that absolutely you must make those minimum payments. But after that, all the available money that you have after that should go to the debt with the highest interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be continued till you extinguish that debt and then go to the next one. Once that one's out of the way, that will then be the highest of those that are left, and so on down the line. And this way, the dollars that you have pay off debt faster, because you are killing off the weed that grows the fastest, the one with the highest interest rate first.
I appreciate you commenting on that. I'm going to respectfully disagree and tell you why. Because what if the highest interest rate is a credit card or a car loan or something that has $12,000, and then you have two or three other debts that only have $2,000 or $4,000 or $5,000? The key, part of the key of winning financially is emotional and psychological. And when we pay off those debts, the smaller debts, and they're gone, it's an emotional and psychological win, which motivates us to continue on, because it's very difficult ourselves to continue to put all that extra money to debt. If you go to powerpay.org again, and you can switch between the two, the lowest payment or the highest interest, and I've done this multiple times, it's almost identical of the amount of money that you save. And so I think the emotional wins of paying those things off overpowers the possible few dollars that you'll get by going for the highest interest rate. Now, you're right, if you have three different credit cards and they're $4,000 or $5,000 each, and one's only $4,500, one's $5,500, but the $5,500's much more higher in interest, sure, you know, go after that. But on average, again, the psychological and emotional ones are going to outweigh.
$500 a month raise.
All right, so $500 a month raise. The way you do that is because, like I said before, with the credit, a lot of people don't have very good credit, and they're trying to improve their credit. And again, next door neighbors, it can cost them as much as $1,000 more to have the same house, the same car, the same insurances as their other person right next door to them. So one way to give yourself a pay raise is to improve your credit. And there's lots of different ways to do that. Another way then is to pay off debt, because a lot of our money is going out the window by paying to interest, right? And so if we pay off our debt, then that gives us a raise, because instead of $1.60 we're paying for that, whatever that expense is, it's only a dollar. And the way that we do that is we track our money and we see where it's going, and then there's things called spending leaks, right? So it's our coffee in the morning, or it's the donuts that we get, or when we stop and get
spending
gas.
Leaks.
Yeah, these spending leaks. And so if we can plug some of those spending leaks, we don't really notice it that much in our lives. We can pay off our debt faster, which then is less in interest, and we're improving our credit during that time. And so if you can just plug your spending leaks, pay off your debt, it improves your credit, you've given yourself at least a $500 a month raise.
Where can people find you?
So again, at bryce.j@nmsu.edu. My number again is 646-4943. I'm here on campus at New Mexico State University, and I'd be happy to reply to anybody that emails me.
Let's talk about some of the workshops that you teach. You talk about why everyone needs a will.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other ones, protect yourself from identity theft. That's got to be really big.
Yes, especially after the Equifax breach, which happened a year ago. If people don't know about that,
mm-hmm.
They got our social security numbers, all of our information, our accounts. And so you can go on and you know, you can put freezes on your account or whatever. But that's why I recommend people go to annualcreditreport.com and check what's on their credit, because people that are stealing your identity can open up different accounts and do things with this information that's out there. And it's hurting your credit, and you don't even know it. So pull your credit report, see if everything on there, you understand what it is. If not, then you need to take different steps to take those off of your credit.
Dr. Bryce, we're going to have to do this again.
All right.
We received lots of calls, lots of social media questions. The conversation will continue on our Facebook page. Dr. Bryce is going to take some time this afternoon to answer some of the questions that came in that we didn't get a chance to get to. So, Dr. Bryce, thank you very much for joining us on KRWG's Financial Confidential.
It's been fun.
All right. KRWG's Financial Confidential has been brought to you by Physical Therapy and Balance Center, offering personalized therapy options designed to prevent falls and injury, decrease pain, and restore mobility. 3 Blue Roof locations throughout Las Cruces and El Paso. Information at 521-4188. By Baccara Jewelers, with more than 60 years' experience in the business, offering custom design work, repair services, estate and consignment jewelry, and original creations. Online at BaccaraJewelers.com. KRWG's Financial Confidential has been produced and hosted by me, Edmundo Resendez. Fred Martino is Director of Content. Jacob Lockwood is our technical producer and answered the phones. Anthony Moreno worked the social media desk, and Mark Johnson handled production. Michael Hernandez was our studio producer. Join us on August 16th for KRWG's Red or Green Confidential with Dr. Paul Boslin of the New Mexico Chili Pepper Institute and Juan Morales of the Santa Fe Grill.